You're listening to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Today, we are airing some of the highlights from our July Get Lit with All of It book club event with author Colson Whitehead. We spent the month reading his novel, The Nickel Boys. The Nickel Boys is based on a true story of the Dozier School for Boys, a school that operated in Florida for 111 years. Our next guest helped bring the country's attention to the horrifying abuse alleged to have taken place there. In 2008, a group of men who had survived Dozier found each other online. Shortly after, investigative reporter Ben Montgomery picked up the story for the Tampa Bay Times and has been following the story of the school and survivors for a decade. Ben's series on the Dozier School in the Tampa Bay Times was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in 2010. He joined us at our July Get Lit event to discuss his reporting, which Colson drew on for many details in The Nickel Boys. I began by asking Ben when and why he first started investigating the Dozier School.
It started with a newspaper story. The Associated Press had covered a small sort of press conference slash ceremony on the campus of the Dozier School for Boys in late 2008. And as it turns out, five elderly gentlemen in their 60s and 70s had sort of found each other online. They had all been wards of the state in the 1950s and 1960s. And they used this opportunity, they had convinced the state to let them hold a ceremony there on the campus. And they used the opportunity to make public for the first time their harrowing experiences of being beaten when they were, you know, when they were younger kids, younger teens. And so I was shocked by just this one AP story that was coverage of that ceremony. And I walked it over to my editor that day. I said, there's something deeper here. If these five guys have found each other and have decided to find their voice and make this public for the first time, I bet you there's a lot more men out there. And sure enough, that was the case.
What was the original intention and the goal of the Dozier School when it was first founded?
It was an answer to the convict lease system, which had been in place in the 19th century in Florida. And as it turns out, in 1898, a 16-year-old convicted criminal who'd been leased out to a turpentine owner was beaten to death by the leasor. And Floridians were outraged. And so they decided, the state officials decided, we need a true juvenile justice kind of place. We need a prison for kids. And so the state was gifted some land in rural Florida, west of Tallahassee, about 60 miles, 1,400 acres on, you know, it was sort of beautiful country. And they called it an industrial school for boys. It was a training school. So you took in kids who'd been accused or convicted of crime, taught them a trade, and ultimately sent them home. That's how it started.
What type of boy was sent to Dozier?
At first, you could get sent for any number of things. Often orphans wound up there because they had no family to care for them. Boys who were accused and convicted of crimes, it could be anything from as serious as murder or rape down to infractions that were, what we would think of as misdemeanor infractions now. Truancy, skipping school, smoking cigarettes. Became a crime on the books, incorrigibility. You could get sent there for stealing a bike. You could get sent there sometimes without any kind of legal representation, certainly in the first part of the 20th century, just having been accused of, taking something from someone else or trespassing. So boys wound up there for all sorts of reasons.
When did it become a place that was abusive?
Right out of the gate.
Really?
Yeah, an investigative committee showed up there in 1903. And found children as young as 6 years old locked in irons like common criminals. Shortly after that, there was a dormitory fire, and some boys had been locked in what they called dark cells, and the dorm burned to the ground, killing eight boys and two staffers. There were deaths on a recurring basis over the years. And the place, for really its whole history, 111 years, from 1900 to 2011, was scandalized over and over and over again. Many times it was public scandal. But this, every time a scandal would break, the state would hire a new administrator or new staff. The person would promise to reform things. And they would go right back to doing things that they had been doing in the past, hurting, abusing, neglecting boys who were in their care.
In Nickel Boys, there's a distinction between the way the white boys at the Nickel Academy, which is based on the Dozier School, are treated, and the black boys are treated. From your reporting, do we know about that in real life?
Yeah, so the punishment was always the same. If you know, the most severe infractions, and sometimes even minimal infractions, resulted in a trip to the White House, as Colson writes about in the Nickel Boys. And this meant being forced face first onto a cot, being told to bite a pillow, being told not to shout out, or the beating would start all over. And often boys were beaten until their pants disintegrated, their underwear disintegrated, until their backside split open. And this happened on a very regular basis. The difference, I think, was that, you know, this school operated under, it was sort of an answer also to slavery. And in the 19-teens, the school leaders, their discipline, you know, it had become a functional farm. It was a profit-making center for the state of Florida. And so the school leaders actually ask legislators in Florida to expand the juvenile justice crimes, the number of crimes that you could be sent to Dozier for, to include things like incorrigibility and truancy, because they famously said too few boys make their crops come in too slow. So what had been, in, you know, maybe they had good intention in the early days, but it morphed just into a continuation of slavery. It was free labor by young men, many of them black, the majority of them black throughout the history of the school, being forced to work for free for a profit-making farm. So the black boys worked a lot more in the fields, in the printing press, in the brick-making facility than did the whites.
Ben, Colson's novel begins with the excavation and the discovery of these bodies. What happened, and how did the Dozier excavation come about?
Well, we kept ringing the bell. We knew there was a cemetery on the property, and there were 31 metal crosses that marked presumably 31 graves. In 2008, when those men I was talking about went public with this story, the state opened an investigation into that little cemetery, and it was, you know, it's surrounded by kudzu-covered pine trees and hard to get to if you don't know where you're going. But they, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement investigated who was buried in the graves, and they came up with a list of names using the school's records that showed 31 boys died in custody and were buried there. But we always suspected that there were a lot more kids buried there. Many of them died under mysterious circumstances. And so the Tampa Bay Times kept, and me, we kept just ringing the bell on this and reporting, trying to bring, trying to spark somebody to do something. It's not in my skill set to dig up graves, you know? So eventually a forensic anthropologist at the University of South Florida in Tampa, this amazing woman named Erin Kimmerly, decided she would take this on as a project. And she used ground-penetrating radar to map that cemetery, to take a picture of what was below the earth. And there were more than 31 graves. Her initial data analysis came up with, it showed distinctly 55 different graves in this area where the state said 31 boys were buried.
In talking to survivors from Dozier, what did they want to see? What would have been justice in their eyes?
You know, I think many of them wanted all those remains exhumed, identified, and returned to the families that lost them. And that was an important thing for them. They've been apologized and, apologized to officially by the state of Florida. The legislature passed, essentially an apology saying we're sorry for how you were treated when you were in custody of the state. But I think of a lot of the guys, you know, they want to see the place destroyed, some of them. And they want to paid for what for many of them have been 5 decades or more of anguish, strife, all the emotion that we experience if we suffer from a childhood trauma like they did.
What was it like for you to know that your reporting was going to be a basis, an inspiration for a novel, and then a novel that went on to win the Pulitzer?
Yeah. Well, I'm still a little disappointed that Colson got it and I didn't. But no, I'm kidding about that. I'm humbled by it. And I think the attention that Colson has brought with his book to the very real plight of the White House boys is something very important, because these are men who were, who continue to suffer from this experience they had 50 or 60 years ago. And And it also it brings up in the public consciousness the idea that these centers still exist all over the place. We think this is a bygone era, but these boys were being abused right up until the closure of that school in 2011. And so what I try to say every time I talk about Colson's work and, you know, in our reportage on Dozier is if you have a juvenile justice facility in your area and you think you might want to help, reach out to them and see if they allow volunteer opportunities. Can you go in the school? Can you meet kids? Can you mentor? And get a look at what's going on in your backyard, because a lot of these places, anytime you put human beings together, the powerful ones are going to abuse the weaker ones. And so a lot of this still goes on in 2020. So that's I think the beauty of this book is brings all of our attention to this, you know, what continues to be a very real problem.
That was part of my conversation with investigative journalist Ben Montgomery about his reporting on the Dozier School for Boys in Florida. The Dozier School provided inspiration for our July Get Lit selection, The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead. You're listening to All of It. We'll be back after a quick break. Stay with us.